Good morning. Let us pray. Lord, write your word on our hearts and on our minds. Help us to understand your word and to live by it. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to start by saying that when it says at the end of a gospel reading that Jesus took the disciples and explained everything to them about the parable, and then they don't tell you, because there isn't that explanation. So in Matthew, there's some explanations of some of the parables. This one, there is no explanation. And believe me, I looked very, very, very hard. So I'll come back to the parable a bit later, because I think it's something I want to talk about. And a lot of people have looked at it since and tried to work out what it is that Jesus means. But it's Father's Day today, so I'm going to talk a little bit to dads. But what I want to say is not just for dads. It just rests on my mind as something as a dad and as the son of a dad, I recognize as something that's important in my life. And the message I want to give, if you can remember this, it's not a tough one, is let God be God. I've been reading this last week about Kim Philby. Now, I don't know, really like reading stories where I know the end is going to be bad. And I don't know if you know much about Kim Philby, but Kim Philby was one of the Cambridge spies who, during the war in the 50s, basically betrayed everything that MI5 and MI6 had and sent it all to Moscow. And there are about five of them. They may have been a sixth. They don't know. There's this hidden idea that maybe. But he was probably the prime mover, and he lived a double life. For 30 years, he became a communist in about 1933, and he met a person in Austria, and they got married, and they got introduced to the Soviet intelligence, the NKVD back then, and he became a spy. 6 years later, he joined MI6. He lived his entire life. He got married. He had children. He hosted huge parties. He socialized, all pretending to be this upper-class Englishman, loyal to his country, and a member of the British intelligence agencies. All the time, he was betraying his friends and sending all the information back to Moscow. Now, you'll be relieved to hear, probably not very surprised to hear, that my life is not as obviously two-sided as Kim Philby's. But I do, and I think many of us do this, have a tendency to compartmentalize my life. There are parts of my life I keep separate. And I think this is a male thing. There may be lots of women who identify with this. But this focus on one thing at a time, I find is very much a me thing. And I assume, therefore, it's a male thing. Who knows? I work, I play, I socialize, I father, I husband, I do church, and I use that air quotes for do church, and I serve God. These are parts of my life and times in my daily life, so I time slice my day, and sometimes I'm doing this, sometimes I'm doing that. And there are times when I have to admit my faith is less central. And I'm not living what I believe. And there are also times when I'm just not trusting in God, where He is not sovereign. He's not in charge. I've been working on this for probably, consciously, for about 15 years. And it is getting better. But it's still something I continually have to work on. Letting God be God in my life. Now, just a second here. As I wrote this, which was yesterday afternoon, leaving it a bit late, Daniel, my son, was singing loudly outside my door. And it's Father's Day, so I'm going to share some of the family life I have. Don't fight it, it's coming for you, running at you. It's only this moment, don't care comes what comes after. And most aptly, I thought, It's fire, it's freedom, it's flooding open. It's a preacher in the pulpit, and you'll find devotion. Now, I'm not sure what God was doing, putting my son singing this very loudly outside my door yesterday afternoon. Can anybody guess where it comes from? Must be somebody. Greatest Showman. My son has become addicted to The Greatest Showman over the last 4 weeks. They showed it in school, would you believe? So he was absolutely convinced. Nanette and Rebecca loved it when they went to see it. I was kind of skeptical, and I like it now, but I was skeptical when it came out at Christmas, and I went to see Jumanji with Daniel instead, which sounded much more fun. They showed it to him at school about this month, three or four weeks ago, and he loved it. Completely surprised himself. He didn't think he was going to like it. What I particularly like about that is the surprise, that something surprising comes out of nowhere. Now, I'm going to come back to that surprise later, but I'm going to talk about two areas. It's a bit serious. Two areas of kind of pain, well, definite pain, that as a father I've experienced, and that I think fathers may identify with, and to be honest, anybody will identify with. And there are areas of pain where I need to be able to trust more in God's sovereignty and in his loving wisdom. Two areas where we all should let God be God. Firstly, responsibility. As I've grown up, probably it'll happen mainly in the last 6 months. No. As I've grown up, I've taken on more and more responsibility. And as a father, I have often taken far too much on my own shoulders. I think parents do this, but especially fathers, I think they can be bad at this. I know many dads among my friends who insist on shouldering everything and taking it all on themselves. I know I've done it myself, and this can be terribly damaging. When things are tough, owning the problem, taking responsibility seems the right thing to do. The grown-up thing, the manly thing, and the only option. Sometimes this can feel like spinning plates, and you've got so many things going on, you don't know what to do to keep them all going. Other times, it can be like holding an enormous, enormous weight, crushing you, but you can't afford to let go. And that's probably the closest it was to my personal experience 14 years ago when my business failed. I needed to work everything out. I needed to make it right. I could not let go of the problem. I focused all my attention on it and put all my effort into it. It was great timing. Rebecca, my daughter, had just been born. And Annette had trusted me, and I'd taken a risk with all our savings. And it was up to me to fix things. It was my job, mine. Weeks and months of stress and darkness turned into years. My confidence was shattered. My moods were grim. I was not the person I wanted to be. I was not even the person I used to be. Nanette was incredibly patient, and eventually I came back to God and started letting him take the load. It was only when I started to let go I felt my personality began to come back, my identity. I had to let God be God. We're still living with some of the consequences of that time, but I learned to let God take charge, and it is no longer the dark nightmare that I'd made it into. A second area where I need to let God take charge, and there may be people in the congregation today who have the same challenge, is in the faith of my children and the ones I love. For me, this is one of those huge things. My children are just getting to that point where they're making those big decisions for themselves. I want them to know that Jesus, I want them to know that God loves them and that Jesus is their Savior. I want them to have that wonderful strength to rely on when things are hard and to have that hope and peace, knowing that they're God's children. I know lots of Christian parents, some very closely, whose hearts cry out for their child who has turned their back on God. They're confused about why, about what happened. They keep asking, what happened? What could have happened? What could they have done? What can they do now? And I know Christian children, the other way around, I know Christian children who pray for their parents, who've come to God and are totally misunderstood now by their parents, and they've got this big gap between them and their parents. I'm a dad who desperately wants his children to know how much God loves them, to be able to rely on that. To be honest, I want everyone to know Jesus. But this is not something I can own. This is not something we as parents, we who have loved ones who we want to come to faith, can own. It is not ours. The kingdom of God, Jesus says, is like seed scattered on the ground that sprouts and grows, though we don't know how. The kingdom of God is not something we can organize, something we can control. It is often something that is completely hidden from our sight. Sharing our faith with others is a lot like the man scattering the seed on the ground. Often we don't see God working. And as Paul says in the Corinthians reading today, he yearns for when he will live at home with the Lord. But he knows that for now, he lives by faith, not by sight. This is something we have to trust to God, to let God be God. I was thinking about the mustard seed in the second of today's parables. I told you I'd get back to this parable. The mustard seed turns into a large shrub. Jesus talks about a tree, and it kind of is tree-like, but it only gets to about here. Okay? Now, it's about the size of, I should have maybe got some pictures or something, but I didn't. It's about that size. Can everybody see that? No, you can't, because it's too small. It starts off as. A tiny seed becomes something big. And that is another description of how God's kingdom works. Now, I was reading about this parable, and as I told you, I was looking at lots of places trying to find out if someone would give, you know, that perfect explanation that was theologically sound and wonderful and made sense. Adrian Plass tackles it by talking about something different, which I thought was very Jesus-like, very oblique. Let's talk about a parable about a parable. My relationship with my father left a lot to be desired, Adrian Plass says. He was a possessive, obsessional, tortured individual. The area of my mind occupied by his memory has been a dark and unhappy place for the whole of my life. Adrian wrote to his father when he was 19 and at college, just started at college at Bristol. And he thanked him. He wanted to tell his father how much he loved him, and he wanted something to make his father happy. And he told him how much he'd done for him, how much his father had done for him, and how much he'd loved him. And he wrote pages of this. And his father replied to the letter, and Adrian remembers reading the letter, and it offered some friendly, practical advice about settling in at university, at college, and didn't react at all to any of the sentiment, any of the openness that Adrian had put into his long letter. And he remembers, Adrian says, throwing the letter away. 30 years later, he was clearing out his study. His father was passed. And he found these letters. And he remembered again how disappointed he'd been as a hurt young man, and how he'd barely glanced at the end of the letter. But rereading it now, 30 years later, he spotted something that made him realize that his father had found a way to pass on his feelings. At the end of the signature were three small kisses. For Adrian, these were mustard seeds, signed tiny little signs of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, a tiny seed that grows. The kingdom of God is not like a big tree that we have to move around. We're not called to move trees around, you'll be pleased to know. We're called to do the relatively easy bit, to plant the seeds, scatter the seeds. It is difficult for us to let God look after those things after we've scattered those seeds. And I know when I started doing gardening, when I first had a garden to have to do, I started fiddling with things too much. If you plant something, it doesn't seem to grow, so you move it around a bit, or you give too much water, or you go and find some fertilizer that doesn't really work. I remember killing quite a lot of plants by overwatering them. God knows the world better than we do. He knows us better than we do. We don't live in a simple world. We live in a very complicated world full of very complicated people. I don't know what you're thinking. I can make some guesses. Some of them will be complimentary, some of them not so. I do not know what you're wrestling with in your lives. I don't know what you're suffering. But God does. So God works behind the scenes. Night and day, whether the man sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. Always remember, when we're talking to the ones we love, when we're sharing our faith, that we're just throwing seeds on the ground. God is working behind the scenes. God is doing the hard work, the long work. As the old hymn goes, God is working his purpose out. Now, I used to worry about the purpose. Do I need to know what the purpose is before I kind of can have fully trust in that? So that's the other thing about letting God be God. We know what kind of God we've got. He doesn't say, you, not you, not you, not you, you, not you, not you. That's not the God we have. We know that God leaves the 99 and goes to find the one. We know that he wants everybody. He loves everybody. So not only do we need to trust him to be working, but he's working for those people we care about, those specific individuals we love, including ourselves. Throwing the seeds on the ground is important, though. God likes to work with us. He likes us helping him. But we don't have to take the responsibility. Let God be God. We don't have to own it. And we won't see it now, but one day, we'll see it all. Let us pray. Dear Lord, you are the most loving Father. You are a good, good Father. And you are our God and the Lord of all creation. Help us to trust in you. Help us to let you be our God. In Jesus' name, amen.